Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Krishna and the Gopis Meet, Text Number 15. Kamam kodam bayam sneham Aikyam suradam hivacha Nityam haro viradato Yanti tanmayatam hite Kaman kodam bayam sneham Aikyam suridam hivacha Nityam haro viradato Yanti tanmaya tamhite. Kamam lust, krodham anger, bhayam fear, sneham loving affection, aikyam unity, suradam friendship, evacha also, nityam always, hello for Lord Hari, viradatta exhibiting, yanti they achieve, tatmayatam absorption in him, he indeed, te such persons. Translation. Persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, feeling of impersonal oneness or friendship toward Lord Hari are sure to become absorbed in thought of him. Purport. Lord Krishna is pure spiritual existence, and those who somehow or other become attached to him, absorbed in thoughts of him, rise to the spiritual platform. This is the absolute nature of the Lord's personal association. With this verse, Sukadeva Goswami answers King Parikit's question about the gopis. After all, Sukadeva has begun to narrate Krishna's most intimate pastimes, the rasa dance, and Parikit is cooperating to remove the doubts of others who are hearing or who in the future may hear this astonishing story. Srila Madhvacharya has quoted a statement from the Skanda Purana that emphatically declares that persons like the gopis to be liberated souls beyond the pale of material illusion. Bhakchahi nichikamitvam nato muktim vinabhavet ataha kumitaya vapi muktir bhaktimatam haro. Eternal conjugal attraction to Krishna expressed in pure devotional service cannot develop in one who is not already liberated. Thus those who are devoted to Lord Hari, even in conjugal attraction, are already liberated. Srila Madhvacharya then quotes from the Padma Purana to clarify the essential point that one cannot be liberated simply by lusting after Lord Krishna, but rather only by possessing conjugal attraction in pure devotional service. Sneha bhakta sada deva kamit venap sara sriha kaschit kaschinna kamina bhakta kevala eva tu. The demigods are always affectionately devoted to the Lord, and the young ladies of heaven, called apsaras, have lusty feelings toward him. Although some of them have pure devotion for him, untainted by material lust. Only these latter apsaras are ready for liberation, because without bona fide devotional service, one cannot possibly achieve liberation. Thus, devotional service is not yogam or appropriate unless free from material lust. One should not take chiefly the gopi's achievement of personal association with Lord Krishna in a conjugal relationship. To show the gravity of direct relationship with the Lord, Srila Madhvacharya has quoted the following verses from the Varaha Purana. Paritvena sriyo paso bhamaname pideti cha pitamahata yan yesham tirasanam janardana. The goddess Lakshmi worships Lord Janardan as her husband. Lord Brahma worships him as his father, and the other demigods worship him as their grandfather. Papi tamaho ne bhagavan iti sarva janashtu guru shi brahmano vishnu suranam cha guru guru. Thus people in general should think, the Supreme Lord is my great grandfather. Lord Vishnu is the spiritual master of Brahma, and thus the guru of the guru of the demigods. Guru Ramasya Jikato Devam Vishnu Sanatanaha Ichevo Pasanam Karyam Nanyatatu Katanchana. Brahma is the spiritual master of this universe, and Vishnu is the eternally worshipful deity. With this understanding, and not otherwise, one should worship the Lord. The above injunctions apply to Sarvajana, all people in general. Thus one should follow these injunctions until one achieves the exalted platform of intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. There is abundant evidence that the gopis of Vrindavan were highly elevated. Liberated souls, and thus their pastimes with Krishna, are pure spiritual affairs. Keeping this in mind, we can truly understand this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this particular purport here really takes off from the question that Shruti asked me last time I was here on Thursday, and I actually I couldn't remember where I'd read them, but these are the particular verses here that I was thinking about, which actually describe that, the serious and respectful nature that one should have for Krishna's spiritual pastimes with his devotees, especially the gopis, topmost devotees. So, this verse is spoken in reply to Sukadeva Goswami's question that the gopis, they're always meditating upon the Lord with their conjugal desires. And they actually, they're not concerned with discriminating whether Krishna is God or not. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is certainly clearing the way for understanding for people in general, so that because these pastimes are so spiritually elevated, they are completely beyond the understanding of the general populace. They are so, even the greatest intellectuals of our time, personalities who can manage whole countries, armies, scientific pursuits, you know, great philosophers and you know, persons who pride themselves as, you know, perhaps among the, you know, topmost 10 or 20 intellectual persons on this planet, they cannot even come close to understanding these pastimes. You know, even the demigods in heaven, whose intelligence is far, far superior to, you know, even the greatest of intellectual people on this planet, they have great difficulty in understanding these pastimes. So, but, you know, from just a casual glance, from, you know, if you were the average person on the street and you heard about these pastimes with Krishna, what would be your conclusion? That this Krishna is, you know, quite an immoral sort of a person, and you know, he's you know, having these affairs in this case with some of these gopis were, you know, other people's wives apparently. So, you know, from a casual glance, you know, you would actually take Krishna to be some immoral person, quite mischievous, very lusty. You know, not only is he having, you know, affairs with you know, one or two women, but, you know, many hundreds. Of course, the materialists could not conceive of millions, which is the actual fact, but they're probably thinking many. But factually, these pastimes, there are millions of gopis. Of course, these are the things that they like to, that they somehow conveniently forget. That, you know, they're comparing these pastimes with their, you know, just their ordinary, you know, relationships in this world. But they somehow conveniently forget that it is not ordinary in many aspects, because Krishna is doing this with millions of gopis. So, you know, which is quite astonishing, especially in the age of Kali. We know that, you know, for people who have relationships, it is very hard to keep one partner happy, generally. You know, in Kali Yuga, if you know, people can, you know, in a relationship, if they can keep the partner happy, and you know, just a couple of children, they're considered very, very expert, you know, great person. It generally doesn't happen, you know. And in Kali Yuga, it's very rare. So here, you know, Krishna is able to fully satisfy all these gopis. So Even people who study the pastimes of Krishna, and they study, you know, many, many spiritual, all Vedic literatures and other comparative religions, they still cannot understand these pastimes of Krishna. So, certainly, you know, Parikshit Maharaj's question is a very good question, because he knows he's clearing the way for understanding. So, you know, allowing Sukadeva Goswami to expand on a particular point, so that people will not misunderstand these topics as, you know, just comparing them to their own material affairs. So, without engaging in bhakti yoga, one will not be able to understand. Without actually engaging in bhakti yoga, it is not possible to understand Krishna, because Krishna reserves the right to, you know, not reveal himself to rascals, but when someone takes up the process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, then Krishna very kindly, he gradually reveals himself. Gradually, as one understands Krishna more and more, then one also eventually begins to understand Krishna's multifarious potencies. That Krishna doesn't exist alone, but he's always surrounded by his unlimited devotees and enjoying various pastimes with them. And these pastimes are literally a display of Krishna interacting with his own internal spiritual pleasure potency. So, therefore, you know, the pastimes, all the pastimes of Krishna have to be approached very, gradually and properly. So generally, that's why when we, these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis are compared to be the smiling face of Krishna. When we look at the deity form of the Lord, we generally, when we come in and we offer our obeisances and then we stand up and we begin to look at the deity form of the Lord, we begin to look at the lotus feet of the Lord. At that. And then as, you know, gradually, you know, we you know, it's a humble attitude. You know, we're looking slightly down, looking at his lotus feet, appreciating the lotus feet of the Lord. Gradually, you know, we're looking, you know, up to the legs and the knees and the waist, like this, beautiful belly and the chest and the arms. And then we see Krishna's smiling face, and then we see Radharani next to him. And, you know, these pastimes come to mind. But one doesn't automatically just, one has to approach Krishna very respectfully. Especially from our point of view, we have to discriminate that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada used to say that we should always remember that you're dealing with God. We should be very careful, you know, in our dealings with Krishna consciousness, because we are dealing with God. When we're dealing with the deity, when we're dealing with the holy name, when we're dealing with the temple, which is the property of God, in all these respects we're actually dealing with God, and we have to be very, very careful. We have to learn to develop a very respectful and reverential mood in approaching Krishna, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here there are different verses quoted that describe Krishna as the guru of all gurus. So just like when our spiritual master comes, you know, we are even Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter once to one disciple saying that, you know, the disciple always has a respectful, you know, reverential attitude to the spiritual master. Even if you've known the spiritual master for 30 years, 40 years, you do not give up that reverential, respectful attitude. There may be intimates, association, which is usually initiated by the spiritual master. But one should be very careful, you know, to oneself to, you know, have that proper respectful mood to the spiritual master, who is a representative of God. So the guru of all gurus is Sri Krishna himself. So we have that also very, very respectful attitude. He is also the father of all fathers. Even it's described here that the goddess Lakshmi, she worships Lord Janardhan as her husband. Of course, again, that's something a little alien to us in Kali Yuga, but actually in previous ages, men had good qualities and women worshipped their husbands. So, but of course, you know, this eternally exists in Vaikuntha. You know, Lakshmi. She has a very worshipful attitude to Lord Narayana. And therefore she is always massaging, she's always, you know, taking the opportunity to massage the Lord's lotus feet. She, you know, she could, you don't hear of the pastimes of, you know, Lakshmi just throwing her arms wildly around Lord Narayana. She has a very respectful, there's an appreciation of his, you know, opulent position, status, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is the source of all Narayans, of all incarnations of God. So, but when we hear the pastimes of how the gopis are, you know, treating Krishna in a very casual way, one may want to imitate that. And immediately one will cause offence. Factually, although the gopis... Bye-bye. See you later, kids. So, factually, the gopis have the most respect for Krishna. The gopis' love for Krishna, but that respect certainly does not get in the way of their service. But they worship, you know, the very ground that Krishna walks upon as sacred. The gopis are not, you know, treating Krishna as a sex object. In this world, people who mistake these pastimes as something for like our mundane pastimes in the material world, generally they can treat the, you know, the partner as an object for their sense gratification. The gopis, they worship, you know, each and every little speck of dust that is, you know, somehow has some relationship with Krishna's lotus feet. Very, very, you know, they take it as most dear, most precious. They have so much respect and veneration. But that worship, that love, that is, it is in a mood of intimate love. They know that although Krishna is completely self-satisfied, he's the Supreme Lord, full in all opulences, and he is by nature very blissful, but Sri Krishna, he likes to increase his blissful nature, and he does that through the agency of his own spiritual pleasure potency, which actually manifests as these gopis of Vrindavan, who are expert in increasing the transcendental blissful pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. So this is literally Krishna, although the Krishna is interacting with his own spiritual pleasure potency, at the same time, you know, the wonder of Krishna is that this spiritual pleasure potency, which manifests as Srimati Radharani and all her expansions as the gopis, they are at the same time independent. They have, you know, because Krishna is in, even we have some independence. They're independent in thinking and feeling and acting. So the independent personalities who exist fully in their own right, and at the same time they are non-different from Krishna. because these gopis are non-different from Krishna, it's actually a great offence for someone to imitate. Sometimes people consider themselves, I'm an incarnation of Lalita, or, you know, I'm an incarnation of Radharani, you know, I'm one of the principal gopis. That's it. Actually, that this happens in certain places in the world, and actually, even these days, even, you know, in places like Australia, you know, there's a couple of Radharanis running around here and there. I've met a few in my time. But it is a huge offence, because in one sense they're non-different from Krishna, because they are Krishna's, you know, the gopis are Krishna's spiritual pleasure potency, manifested as, therefore one is equating oneself as equal to Krishna, and this is the Mayavadi philosophy, which is very, very offensive to Krishna. You know, to equate oneself, yes, I am, you know, non-different from Krishna, I am, you know, one with, you know, Radharani, who is Krishna's spiritual pleasure. I am equal to Krishna. That is a great offence. Therefore, you know, in our line, generally our spiritual masters, they consider themselves to be assistants to the gopis. Or, in some cases, assistants to the cowherd boys. But they don't make the mistake of claiming to be Krishna's spiritual pleasure potency. But sometimes these different personalities, they do actually incarnate as well, with Krishna in his pastimes, and as with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of these personalities did actually incarnate. But in those circumstances, they certainly manifested their spiritual nature. And so I think you were telling a story one time about the cowherd boys, they were with Lord Nityananda, and they were floating and walking up trees and, literally defying the laws of nature. Right? They just like Abhiram Thakur, who was, Sabal, I think, incarnation of Sabal, and if he would hit someone with his whip, that person would immediately develop ecstatic love of God. In touch with his whip. That is. So there was one devotee, I think it was Sarangat Thakur. He was one of the exalted personalities in the spiritual world, and his spiritual master, it may have been Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually asked him to accept disciples, but he was considering himself unworthy to accept disciples. He was asked repeatedly, and finally he said, "All right, I'll accept one disciple and that is all. The first person I see today I'll accept as my disciple." So he went down to the Ganges, and there was a dead body floating by. So he went and touched that body came to life, and he became his only disciple. His name was Murari. So, this is, such personalities we can, safely say, manifesting spiritual opulences like that. Yes, we can say they're Krishna's cowherd, boyfriends, or Krishna's cowherd girlfriends, or what have you. Otherwise, one should never think like that. Not only should one not think that, one is one of these exalted personalities, perhaps, I've incarnated, I'm Radharani, I'm this one or that one. One should not even imitate them. Even if one doesn't think that, one should not even imitate them, not even in one's dreams. So serious an offence. These are, the most dear associates of Krishna. You can imagine what Krishna would be thinking if someone was, giving that associate a bad name somewhere down in the material world by, portraying. Just like sometimes we have plays, and sometimes someone has to be Narada Muni or something. So, Prabhupada would quite often refer to, if someone was a little inexperienced devotee, playing the part of Narada Muni, he would call them the farcical Narada. Even in our plays, you know, we have to be very careful. You know, ISKCON has a tradition of it's almost impossible to do a play without sort of being, you know, a little, say, slapstick. But so especially when we're dealing with pastimes, there's sort of modern plays and then there's pastimes. When we do the pastimes plays, we actually have to try and be mindful that we're actually portraying certain of Krishna's associates and keep that in mind, so that it's done nicely, tastefully, and not farcically. So Prabhupada here is describing that persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, feeling of impersonal oneness or friendship toward Lord Hari are sure to become absorbed in thought of him. So taking this verse, you know, one may foolishly think, oh, well, I'll just, you know, imitate the gopis and be lusty, and, you know, or this, or I'll be angry at Krishna, you know, and, you know, foolishly sort of imitating without really understanding what this verse is stating will not give one the benefit. What's actually being stated here is that when a person becomes absorbed in Krishna in some particular way, and the person is thinking of Krishna pretty much all the time, then naturally, because Krishna is completely spiritual, one's because the object of one's mind is spiritual, there is definitely spiritualization of one's mind. The mind is the master of all the other senses. All the other senses come into line gradually. There is certainly a spiritualization of the mind and the body, and therefore one's activities. So by becoming absorbed in Krishna, definitely one's whole existence becomes spiritualized. However, if one does that and at the same time commits many grievous offences, it will hold back one's one's progress in devotional service. Therefore, one will not be able to understand Krishna, what to speak of his form, what to speak of his qualities, what to speak of his pastimes, what to speak of his associates. So one should be very careful that we can absorb ourselves in Krishna in various ways, but at the same time, if that is full of offences, then it can actually have a very serious halting effect on our spiritual life, and we can also suffer very strong reactions because of it. So now, in the case, for instance, here is someone who is meditating on, we're always thinking of Krishna in anger. We can think of Sisipal. Of course, Sisipal, you know, did perform many, many offensive acts towards Krishna, towards Brahmanas, towards cows. Ultimately, Krishna killed him and he attained liberation. Now, generally, we have to be careful, think, because Sisipal, he was killed by Krishna, he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna in an angry, envious mood. If we think, I'll think of Krishna in an angry, envious mood, I'm envious of Krishna, I'm angry at Krishna, Krishna may not come down to kill us. That was a special benediction for Sisipal. Rather, Krishna may slap us about for a couple of hundred lifetimes by the material energy in the form of dogs and hogs and asses. Sisipal was actually originally Krishna's devotee from Vaikuntha. There's Jai and Vijay, And they appeared as Sisipal and Dantavakra in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And of course previously they had appeared as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, and also as Ravana and Kumbhakarna in the pastimes of Ram. So, you know, Krishna had a special vested interest to ultimately bring his devotee back to the spiritual world, but we shouldn't count on. So therefore, but in that sense, he was thinking of Krishna, even in an angry, envious mood, and Krishna killed him, and he attained liberation. And who thought of Krishna in fear? Kamsa, yes. Kamsa also. Kamsa thought of Krishna in fear. He was also killed by Krishna. That was Krishna's great mercy. And he also attained liberation. But certainly devotees don't want to attain liberation. If we, even if Krishna did come down and kill us, which won't happen, but we would then still attain liberation, which is not what a devotee wants. A devotee doesn't want to go to, especially devotees of Krishna, the original form of the Lord, they don't want to go to the Brahma Jyoti. They don't even want to go to Vaikuntha. They want to always be with Krishna in service. So, and then there are devotees' protective affection, I think they call that sneham, which is like Mother Yasoda. You know, they, Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, various elders like that, they had this motherly, parental, protective affection towards Krishna, and they loved him in that way. And they were fully Krishna conscious, because they were all eternally liberated souls. Feeling of impersonal oneness. So we have the example of the four Kumaras situated in Santaras. Sometimes great yogis and impersonalists, they appreciate the Lord, and they appreciate his Brahman effulgence and even his Paramatma form. So there's this great appreciation, and they have this concept that they, because they're also Brahman, that they are one with the Lord, in spiritual quality, and they appreciate, they enjoy that spiritual bliss of that oneness with the Lord. So, in that way, sometimes personalities think of even Krishna or Narayan like that, and they also become liberated. So, and friendship, just like Arjun was a friend. There's another Arjun who's a cowherd boy, he's also a friend. different levels of friendship though. Generally in the Vaikuntha planets there is friendship, there is relationships up to servitorship and friendship in awe and reverence. But the higher level of friendship in intimacy is only found in Krishna Loka. Or it's not found in Vaikuntha, it's found above there. So, these personalities, they're meditating on Krishna, some of them in an offensive way where they were killed and they attained the same destination as the demons, the impersonalists, they attain the same destination as these demons who were killed by Krishna. So that's certainly not wanted by the devotees. Others who were, meditating on Krishna here, but in a more favourable way, they achieve different levels of spiritual situation. Some of them achieve, you know, Vaikuntha planets, and some of them achieve Krishna Loka. So although in this verse here it's stating that one can meditate on Krishna in these various ways, we still have to understand that if you want to get to Krishna Loka, though, you have to be selective amongst these various processes here. And even some of the various, you know, ways of meditating upon Krishna which are slightly unfavourable for personalities like Sisipal, who are, you know, actually from Vaikuntha, they may get away with that. But for the average person, it can cause, you know, devastation on their spiritual life. But if one engages even in these meditations on Krishna, even in some of the slightly unfavourable ways in the beginning, if that is done in the association of devotees, under the direction of the spiritual master, guided by Vedic literatures, even those unfavourable ways will purify someone to the point where they actually will become fully situated in a very favourable, loving relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada sometimes, for instance, sometimes some devotees wrote to Prabhupada and they were, you know, asking him to help them because they were suffering from sex desire. So Srila Prabhupada would, you know, write back to some of his disciples that you should meditate on the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So, and factually, you know, later on in this chapter, you know, in one of the purports, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also describes, you know, that by meditating on these pastimes, you actually develop love, you develop prema, love for God. You know, by hearing these pastimes with Krishna and the gopis, you can't help but desire, you know, that more superior way of life. If we're engaged in some inferior way of life that's very troublesome and causing us a lot of problems, and even we're attached to that, And we also know that it's temporary. So, you know, in this material world, we all know that generally sex life is, you know, problematic. In the sense that when you have, you know, sex life, then there's the big responsibility to bring up the children who are the natural result of that sex life and spend your whole life looking after them, you know, in a very responsible way. See? And that's, you know, that's a big job. So on top of that, you know, the partners, they have to look after each other. And generally they have to look after all the relatives that are associated with that family, the house, the pets, the lawn, everything. There's a lot that goes with sex life in this material world. People think, oh, I'll just have the sex life, I'll forget all the responsibility. But it doesn't happen like that. We see, you know, the problems. You know, children track down their parents, you know, sowing some wild oats, you know, after 20 years, you were my father, you know, where were you all these years? Now I'm going to make you pay. You know, and, you know, these days, children, they grow up and they start, you know, getting revenge, don't they? If they haven't been looked after. So, and then, you know, even if somehow, you know, there appears that, you know, through that, you know, that somehow one's managed to escape the responsibilities of family life and, you know, children, you know, there is, you know, AIDS, They cannot escape the laws of God. Age is catching up on everyone. And gonorrhea and syphilis and all those terrible, terrible, you know, diseases and what have you. And in so many different ways, people suffer as a result of, you know, illicit sex. So, you know, that sort of relationship, relationships based on illicit sex, and even illicit sex. Illicit sex is very problematic, and illicit sex is problematic. It's more rewarding, of course, because illicit sex means that you bring into this world children who you take responsibility for to become, you know, a great benefit to this world. You know, spiritually minded children who, you know, are on this planet, and generally they will give something wonderful to the people of this world. So, you know, that is very rewarding. But then if we hear these pastimes with Krishna and the gopis, there's no mundane sex involved whatsoever, but they are based upon this conjugal loving relationship, which is really what people want. Deep down inside, that's what people want. That, you know, they want that. Actually, you know, everyone wants to be loved. Every single person. Everyone wants someone to, you know, love them and absolutely adore them. That's what they want. When that people cannot get it, you know, they search out after other, you know, crazy things in this world. But actually, that's what people want. And when they have that satisfaction that someone loves them and adores them unconditionally, they're completely satisfied in any situation on this world. So that, we're reminded of that in these pastimes with Krishna. Not only are we reminded of that, but we are given an opportunity that we can also attain that again with Krishna and with Krishna's associates. In the spiritual world, it's not just Krishna that we're loving, we love everyone there, and they all love us. It is a wonderful place. So, you know, that is what is being... So therefore, when people read the Krishna book, they lose their desire for sex attraction. It becomes, they see it for what it is, you know, it's a problematic affair that's really, you know, lifetime after lifetime, millions and millions of lifetimes, you know, it's really not caused me satisfaction, but here is actually what my soul of souls is searching for. There, you know, I see that what I want in Krishna's pastimes, and therefore, you know, by hearing these pastimes, one actually loses, you know, the desire for sex attraction. You know, another time Prabhupada described one devotee asking, you know, how do I get over anger? He said, meditate upon the pastimes of Lord Nrisimha, killing, you know, Hiranyakashipu. See? By meditating on that pastime, it actually also helps you to be relieved of anger. You know, actually, all the various different mundane sentiments that we have, which are causing us so much difficulty in this world, by meditating on all the pastimes of Krishna, we can see, you know, life as we really want it. We can be reminded of that, and therefore we lose interest in these lower things. But not only that, but there is literally a spiritualization by taking the effort to hear the pastimes. That as soon as someone approaches Krishna, that, you know, let me hear Krishna's pastimes. Let me hear what Krishna had to say. Let me, you know, hear his pastimes and his messages like that. Krishna becomes so pleased. That is bhakti yoga. Hearing, chanting, remembering, you know, 9 different processes of bhakti yoga, which begin with hearing, which is the most important, especially in the beginning. One should hear. When someone takes the effort to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna, sitting as a super soul in the heart, he immediately begins to act, cleansing away all the muck in there, giving intelligence. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am knowledge, I am forgetfulness, and I am remembrance. As soon as we want to remember our spiritual nature, Krishna sitting within our heart, he gives us remembrance. And as long as we want to turn our back on Krishna, he gives us forgetfulness. So much so that in the body of a dog, the spirit soul thinks he's a dog. He's so forgetful that even if you say Krishna, he still, you know, has no idea what you're talking about. So, you know, Krishna is knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. As soon as we hear these pastimes, Krishna begins to act. But we should approach them, these pastimes, in a very successive and gradual way. We begin by hearing Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna establishes religious principles and transcendental religious principles. And we understand Krishna's nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, we should come to the conclusion, Krishna is God, I'm his servant, and I surrender unto him. If you understand that, you've understood Bhagavad Gita. If not, don't take up Srimad Bhagavatam just yet. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from that point of surrender. Srimad Bhagavatam begins from that point, I've understood Krishna is God, I've understood I'm his eternal servant, and I surrender unto him. At that point, you start the study of Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto. And there are 9 cantos. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then, understanding the 9 cantos, then you begin the 10th canto. And even then, we don't jump straight to the pastimes of the gopis. There's Krishna's appearance, you know, his killing of the Tana, various, you know, various activities like that. Gradually, and then these pastimes, which are the essence of Krishna's pastimes here. But it should be approached very... So we should hear these pastimes, but we should hear them gradually after understanding very well the previous, you know, understandings of Krishna and his spiritual potencies. But then one may ask, but Krishna, you know, presented, Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna book, and we distribute that en masse to the people in general. So, how is that? Because Krishna's pastimes are in there for the general people. So, you know, and this is Srila Prabhupada's great expertise, that, you know, if you look in the Krishna book and you read that, you'll see how carefully he has presented it. And he hasn't included all the details, you know. The pastimes of this pastime, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, a lot of the details are carefully guarded by the acharyas. And therefore you have to first understand this, and then you read Nectar Devotion and you get a little bit more understanding, you know, they delve into it. And then there's, you know, Ujjvala Nilamani, you know, various, you know, books by the Goswamis where they really hone in on the details, and everything you want to know is there. That. But in Krishna book, Prabhupada presented Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in a very, very you know, palatable way, that even the person on the street will read that and think, you know, and Prabhupada presents very, very carefully, you know, paragraph after paragraph, you know, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, these gopis are his transcendental spiritual energy, there is nothing to do with sex life in this pastime. You know, he states it again and again throughout. And then, you know, not all the details are there, so that it's just a nice palatable thing, enough to give us an interest to look into it more, and to purify us, and to remind us, something deep down the soul, you know, reads that pastimes, and, you know, one's memory of their spiritual life begins to, you know, pick up again, even from that faint hint, you know, like that. just like one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and they used to, in the early days, they used to bring people in off the street sometimes to fill the hall up a little bit, and they'd be sitting there, some of them, you know, intoxicated and been on drugs for the last few days, and you know, like this. And one of the devotees asked Prabhupada, you know, what is the benefit of them hearing? Some of them are sleeping, they're barely conscious. Prabhupada said, the soul hears. There's benefit. Like that. So, you know, we read these pastimes in the Krishna book, and the soul begins to remember, you know, who they are, who Krishna is, who their real love is. And although it's not all stated, the soul begins to yearn for it, and therefore they take up, you know, these other literatures. And as much as you want to know, it is there. And of course, whatever is not there, Krishna will just manifest himself one day before you anyway, with all his associates. So these pastimes, we should meditate. we should not imitate the part. We should hear the pastimes of Krishna. And Prabhupada said that when he said to these devotees, you know, they're having some difficulty, hear these pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, but don't imitate them. Follow in their footsteps. So how do we follow in the footsteps of the gopis? My turn for questions. What's that? Serving Krishna. We can't imitate their mood, but selfless, surrendering everything. The way to follow in the footsteps of the gopis is that they were always thinking of Krishna, which is, you know, the mood of this verse. Somehow or another, think of Krishna. The gopis were always thinking of Krishna. If they were cooking, they're cooking for, you know, they're thinking about Krishna. If they're sweeping the floor, they're thinking of Krishna. If they're, you know, washing themselves, they're thinking of Krishna. If they're doing their hair, they're thinking of Krishna. Whatever they did, from morning to night, every single thing they did, they were thinking of Krishna. That is how we follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Always think of Krishna. And what Sukadeva Goswami is saying here, that if we always think of Krishna, you'll become completely liberated. Even, you know, if there's some forms which are unfavourable, they also can be, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of devotees, brought to a more favourable platform, and they're also very... But even in their unfavourable condition, still one attains liberation. Not that we want that. So, from the gopis we learn how to always think of Krishna, absorb ourselves in these various pastimes and the instructions of Krishna, and also, as you were stating, to always serve Krishna, and be, you know, surrender everything to Krishna. We see how the gopis, you know, they just gave up everything. They, you know, there was, you know, certainly even at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna says, "Surrender unto me." He's saying, "Give up all your other nonsense activities." You know, this is the beginning of following in the footsteps of the gopis. Give up all your other activities, even your so-called religions and moral principles. You know, if I haven't given them, give them up. Like that. Surrender to me, to my instructions, to my principles on the absolute platform. That's the beginning of following in the footsteps of the gopis, and when you get really, really good, then, you know, ultimately you can actually literally perform devotional service in that spontaneous and conjugal, you know, loving mood that the gopis have. so, how do we practice the art of always thinking of Krishna? It begins with chanting 16 rounds. First, we have to learn to think of Krishna for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Forget the 24, let's start with an hour and a half, 2 hours. We can do that. If we can chant 16 rounds, think of Krishna, an hour and a half, 2 hours, gradually that will help us to always think of Krishna. But if we can't think of Krishna like that, chant 16 rounds, we will not be able to think of Krishna all day. will not be able to artificially imitate the gopis, always thinking of Krishna. If we don't chant our rounds, if we don't follow the four regular principles, you know, as soon as we don't follow four regular principles, the mind merely is immediately deviated from Krishna. It's not possible to think of Krishna and break the four regular principles at the same time. As soon as you forget Krishna, you start to, you know, break various devotional principles. And by remembering Krishna means that you're, you know, fixed up on the path. Chant 16 rounds, follow the regular principles. This is how we begin to remember Krishna. And then as we become purified, that becomes spontaneous, where even without our endeavour, we can't stop thinking of Krishna. We just walk or whatever we're doing, do these pastimes, it just manifest, and everything we see, it just reminds us of, you know, some, you know, oh yeah, Krishna did that with the gopis, that reminds me. Everything, every single thing. Like Prabhupada, you see, you know, he would see a bird, he would see, you know, an insect, he would see a crab on the beach, he would see anything, you know, buildings, and everything reminded him of Krishna, like that. So I'll leave it there. It's only about 5 minutes. If anyone has any quick questions or comments, yeah, good.
You said you've got a couple of Radharani's in your time. Does she ever manifest without Krishna? Is there any story where she manifests
without
Krishna?
Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani herself is either with Krishna or her associates generally as well. this pastime here, towards the end, Radharani does manage to give the other gopis a slip and manage to go off by herself. But it appears that she had the help of Krishna in doing that. But generally, you know, the spiritual situation is not an impersonal one. The spiritual world is just full of unlimited variety, and at every step, that unlimited variety of associates and, you know, pastimes, it is there. It's not like the gaping void of this material world. No, it is just at every step there is just so much variety and unlimited personalities. And, you know.
Are there any of the principal
associates
of Krishna
ever
manifest without
him,
or do they have other, like,
well,
are there any stories other than that? All the stories have that.
Sometimes, you know, the various personalities will appear. They generally appear within the pastimes of the Lord. So, for instance, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna, he appeared. He was manifesting his Sankirtan party, Sankirtan pastimes, and, you know, certain associates appeared in various parts of India. They may not have appeared right with the Lord, and they may not have had, you know, a lot of contact with the Lord in his pastimes, but they sort of came and appeared within, you know, the with the Lord in his pastimes. But see, the nature of the spiritual, you're thinking of things from a material platform, that if Krishna is over there and I'm over here, we're separated. That's a material thought. You cannot actually be separated from Krishna spiritually. You're thinking of things materially. We are always with Krishna, we just keep forgetting it.